Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 9 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Hey. Before we learn the Gemara, let us glance at one of the features of our Gemara marking system, whereby we offer topic headings and structural notes in the outside margin. In this case, under the Nosei topic heading, we have written that which you will eventually see in the Gemara itself, the following: Dino Shel Reb Yitzchak, the teaching, the law of Reb Yitzchak. In fact, his name is Reb Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, and he says, Ha'oichel Shlishi Shel Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKadosh. One who consumes Chulin that's at a third degree of Tumah. What kind of Chulin? Chulin that was prepared with the stringencies of sacrifices. That's known as Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKadosh. Someone like that, who had eaten this third level, Shlishi level, Tohor Lechol B'Kadosh, he is allowed to eat sacrifices. In other words, this kind of food will not affect him, affect the person in a tumah, with regard to his tumah status. She'ein l'chadavar ha'isa revi b'kodesh ela kodesh mikodesh bilvad. Rav Yitzchak is of the opinion that the only thing that would create a revi b'kodesh, a fourth level tumah, with regard to sacrifices, is something that itself was of a sacrificial nature, not chulin that was treated as if it were a sacrifice, but it would have to be the real thing, a korban that had become tomei from having contact with a sheni, thereby making it into a shlishi, a third level. And under such circumstances, if someone had eaten a shlishi level sacrifice, then he would have a problem with regard to eating sacrifices. Now, the Gemara. Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kameid Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak was seated in the presence of Rav Nachman. V'yosef v'komar. He sat and said over the following. Ha'oichel shlishi shel chulin shenasu al taras ha'kadosh. One who ate a third level tumah of chulin that was prepared with the stringencies of sacrifices. Tohor le'echo b'kodesh. Such a person who had consumed this third level tumah of such chulin would be allowed to eat korbanos. She'ein l'chodover she'oise revi'i b'kodesh ela kodesh mikodesh bilvad. The only thing that could create a fourth level tumah with regard to sacrifices is something that itself was of a sacrificial nature, something that had become a shlishi b'tumah, something that is a korban, a sacrifice. And chulin shenas ataras kosh obviously is not. That's merely mundane food that's treated with the restrictions of sacrifices, but it's not an actual sacrifice. Therefore, if it is a shlishi, it cannot have an effect on the person that ate it. Mosiv Romi Bar Chama. We feature a triangle with a colored in tip. This is explained under the Mivneh structural note in the outside margin. These triangles will continue onto Amid Beis as well. They are Kushos Aldino Shurab Yitzchak. These are challenges, questions to Rav Yitzchak's din. So Romi Bar Chama asks, from the following Tanaic source, you can see that it is in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources as they appear in our Gemara marking system. The source says, Shlishi, one who eats Shlishi. Shlishi is a third level of Tumah. What happens to the person that eats it? Sheni L'Kodesh, he becomes a second level of Tumah with regard to Kodesh sacrifices, the Ein Sheni Letruma. However, he does not become a Sheni with regard to Truma. And this is true when what did he eat? Bechulin Shinasu Al Taras Truma. He ate chulin, mundane food, the owner of which has treated his common food, his chulin, as if it were truma. Truma is a tithe given to kohanim, and in general, actual truma is quite sensitive to matters of ritual impurity, namely tuma. He decided to treat his chulin, his common food, as if it were truma, and it happened to have reached a third level tuma. That's a shlishi of chulin shnasa taras truma. And what does this source teach? It teaches that he, the eater, the one who consumed it, becomes a sheni l'tuma with regard to korbanos. Namely, not only is there a psul gavra where he himself becomes, let's say, affected, but he actually becomes a sheni, which means that he can have an effect on other things as well. If he touches another korban, so it will become a shlishi, and then that can in turn make something else into a revi. But in this case, why is it that he affects? Why is it that he can affect other things? Ha lav kodesh mikodeshu. This person became posel even though he didn't consume actual korban meat. Above, Rabbi Yitzchok said that the only thing that could lead to a reviv, a kodesh, is something that had some other sacrifice that had been responsible for the earlier tuma. Here we don't have a sacrifice responsible for the earlier level of tuma. Here we have chulin shenasu al taras truma. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchok answers, Hanoch l'truma, leave aside truma. Truma is not to be raised as a kasha on my principle. Shetarosa tuma eitzel hakodesh. When it comes to truma, even though truma itself has certain strict standards, nevertheless, relative to sacrifices, it's considered ritually impure. Even though it may not have had contact with tuma, truma is not considered as severe or as serious a matter as sacrifices, and therefore, relative to sacrifices, it's considered tome. Umina temra, and from where do I know this? That truma is considered tome relative to matters of sacrifices. Tisnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Bigdei am ha'oretz, medris leprushim. The clothing of people who are ignoramuses, they is considered medris. Medris is a source of tuma with regard to prushim. Prushim are people who are careful with regard to keeping away from tuma. Bigdei prushim, medris leochle truma. People who are prushim, those are people that take trouble to eat their chulin in a state of tahara. Nevertheless, the clothing of prushim are considered medris, we'll say a source of tuma, with regard to people who eat truma. As you can see, we're working up in levels of stringency. So the next level, bigdei ochle truma, the clothing of people who eat truma, medris lekodesh, would be considered a source of tuma with regard to sacrifices. Now, there was a key word used over here, medris. We did not give a literal translation to it. We simply said we called it a source of tuma. Technically speaking, medris is something that's designed for sitting on or leaning on, including one's clothing. One leans on his clothing, and therefore they take on a status known as medris. Medris is a type of tuma that can affect actually other people that come into contact with it. Now, this is supposedly, or this is Rav Yitzchak's source, where you see at the end of this source that the clothing of Ochle Truma is considered a source of Tuma, that it would metame people that eat sacrifices. Omar Rava disagrees and says, you can't cite this as a source to show the stringency of truma vis-a-vis sacrifices in a general form. Medrissus Koramas, Rava says to him in wonderment, you're citing a source dealing with medrassos. Medrassos are those things that people sit on. Shiny medrassos. Medrassos are different. They're very common. This is Shemo Teshevaleim Ishtoi Nida. People are hard-pressed to really be careful with regard to things that are of a medrus nature, things designed to be sat on or leaned upon. And it is true that with regard to medrassos, Rava says, that the medrus of people who eat truma, even though they are generally speaking quite careful, will be considered a source of tuma with regard to people that eat sacrifices. Because we're choshesh, we take into consideration that maybe his wife, in a state of ritual impurity in her nida period, the female monthly cycle period, she leaned on his clothing, thereby making it into a medrash. Aval bepeiri lo amrinon, but with regard to peiri food items, we don't say that the food of truma is considered tome with regard to sacrifices. For Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak responds to Rava, and he will say, "Bepeiri nami omar," with regard to peiros, also with regard to food items as well, food items of truma, which include fruits and vegetables that are tithed as truma, even though someone watches the truma from things that would be matanaid, that level of watching is not sufficient with regard to kachim, with regard to sacrifices. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, even truma food items, and we were speaking about chulin shenasu altaras truma, that kind of guarding against tuma would not be sufficient with regard to sacrifices. And that's why on Omid Aleph, Rabbi Yitzchak had said, oh, you're quoting me from truma as asking on my principle with regard to sacrifices. Truma is considered tomei with respect to sacrifices. However, if someone is careful with his chulin as if it were sacrificial meat, that level of guarding, we will say, if one would eat a shlishi of chulin shenasu al taras kodesh, whereby he watches, he makes sure that his chulin is treated as if it were sacrifices, if he were to eat a shlishi level of that, he would not be affected. Apparently, the level of guarding that he does is sufficient to keep it away from ruining him or being metama the person that eats it. And if you want to talk about someone that would be affected by a shlishi, it would only be someone who ate a korban that was a shlishi latuma. That would affect him and prevent him from eating sacrifices. Mosiv Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Akasha, which in effect will raise a problem on Rabbi Yitzchak, and that's why we have a triangle around him. He says, "Umi amrinon beperi? Is it really so that when it comes to fruits of truma, that if they're considered tomei relative to sacrifices?" Take note of the fact that this is the beginning of a long question. We have a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. That all the lines of the Gemara that are parallel to this long question marking constitute the question. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, is it really so that when looking at truma fruits, that they would be considered tomei vis-a-vis korbonas v'hotanan? We have the following source. Im omar hifrashti l'soicha revi'ez kodesh ne'emon. If an amoretz, a person who's generally speaking considered an ignoramus, if he had a barrel of wine and he claims that in this barrel of wine he separated a revius for sacrificial purposes, the Am Oretz would be believed. And we would then say that the entire barrel is tohor. Rashi provides a background to this particular source that we will learn together. Rashi on the first narrow line, Im Omar Hifrashti L'Soicha B'Choymer B'Kodesh, that's the name of the third perek of Maseches Chagiga. Tnan, a Mishnah says, B'Yehuda Ne'monim Amayoret Altaras Yain L'Nesochim. In the Yehuda province of Israel, of Eretz Yisrael, the Amayorets, the ignoramuses, are believed with regard to the pureness of the tahara of their wine with regard to nesachim. Nesachim are wine offerings. Im omru tahorin hain, if the amratzim say that their wine is tahor, v'emnu rabbonon, the rabbonon granted them believability. Why? Kedei shelo yekol echon hoylech u'boinebom le'atzmo v'serp v'radum le'atzmo. Because if we would not trust the amratzim, they would then say, oh, we're not good enough for you. So they would then go and build their own altars and prepare their own pora adumas, being that we don't trust them. So the Rabbanan said, we're going to trust them so as to keep a certain sense of unity in Klal Yisrael. Avol, al ha-trumein amonim, but with regard to what they say concerning their truma, that their truma is tor, they will not be believed. El b'shas ha-gisas v'abanim, other than during the high season. Ov ra-gis v'abanim v'viu lo chovis shel yai de truma, if the high season, the wine pressing season passed, and an Amoritz brought a barrel of truma wine, hareze lo yekabel himeno, you shouldn't accept it from him, because it would be viewed as truma tamea, which is something that one cannot consume. V'im omar lo ifrashi l'soy chovis zu revias l'nesachim, if in this barrel of wine that the Amoritz says he tithed as truma, dedicating the barrel as truma, and he added that, well, there's a revias of wine. A revias is a liquid quantity, and he says there's a revias of wine in this barrel that I dedicated l'nesachim, that I dedicated for sacrificial purposes. Nemon al kula umekablo kohen v'shoise. The kohen would be allowed to accept this barrel from him and drink it, because the barrel is primarily truma. Amongst the wine, then there would also be a revias that's for sacrificial, for nesachim purposes. What do we see here, though? We see that you have a barrel of truma, and the truma does not affect the wine. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say, V'loko metame le truma la kodesh, and we don't say that the truma is metame the kodesh, the nesachim in there. V'i amris taharosa tumo hi etzel hektish, if you say that the truma, the tohar truma is considered tuma with regard to kodesh, titame truma la kodesh, then the truma should ruin the wine that was dedicated for nesachim. Omalei, so Rav Yitzchok would answer, tuma b'chiburin ko'amris, are you trying to ask on me from a case of chiburin? Chiburin is where the truma is attached to the nesachim, where they are attached to one another, they are both in one vessel. Tuma b'chiburin shiny. The case of tuma b'chiburin is different. Demigu demehemon akodesh, since they have believability with regard to the kodesh, to the nesachim in this case, as we learned in Rashi earlier, that when it comes to wine dedicated to nesachim, we trust the amoratzim so that they don't go off and build their own altars. So since we have granted them believability with regard to kodesh, and we're talking about kodesh in the same barrel as truma, mehemon nami atruma, they are believed with regard to this truma as well, because otherwise it would be disparaging, so to speak, to the kachim, that will believe them with regard to kachim but not truma. After all, kachim is on a higher level than truma. So if we're going to believe them with regard to the kachim, we'll certainly believe them with regard to the truma that's together with the kachim in the same barrel. But when you're talking about separate truma, Rabbi Yitzchak will tell you that separate truma, if it comes into contact with kashim, it will ruin the sacrifice, the sacrificial meat, that is. Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Nosson. We have a Tanaic source which once again will pose a challenge to Rabbi Yitzchak. Hasheni shebechulin mitame mashkechulin uposel ochle truma. Something that's a sheni level of tuma in with regard to chulin, common food, will render impure mashkechulin. Liquids of chulin nature, and posel ochle truma, and create a shlishi level of tuma with regard to truma food. Vashlishi metame mashke kodesh. Shlishi of chulin, which will be explained in a little while, we'll be talking about chulin shenasra taras kodesh. Shlishi, a third level tuma of chulin, metame mashke kodesh, will make mashke kodesh into a revi. Uposel ochle kodesh, and will we should say with regard to the metame mashke kodesh, it may be even more than just making it a revi, but it will certainly ruin the mashke kodesh, and posel ochle kodesh, that will make ochle kodesh a revi level of tuma. And this is true bechulin shenaso al taras kodesh. Now this is not a case of kodesh mikodesh, and yet we see a revi level of revi level of tuma by sacrifices reached through contact with something other than sacrificial meat. It's coming into contact with chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. That's not like Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara answers tanoihi. The issue behind Rabbi Yitzchak is really a machlokes tanoim, a tanaic controversy. Tanya, this source will show the other opinion. Chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, hare hein kechulin. Chulin that's prepared with kodesh restrictions is considered like chulin, and as a result of that, it cannot come to becoming a third level of tuma. Chulin stops at the second level. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer Hare Hein Ketruma Letame Shnayim Velipsol Echad. Chulin Shenasra Al Taras Kodesh, Rabbi Elazar says, is like truma. Now, saying that it's like truma means it can reach a first level and a second level, and eventually a third level, but stop there. That's what letame shnayim in this context means. Reach a first and second level, and at those levels they transfer their tuma to the next item. And lifsol echod means it reaches a third level of tuma, but it stops there. Psul is indicative of something that itself is ruined, but doesn't pass the tuma on any further. So this source is telling us that chulin that is nasal taras hakodesh cannot make a revi'i. In contrast to this, we saw the source just above, and we should point out that this source, by saying it cannot reach revi, is like Rabbi Yitzchak. The source just before this that indicated that a sheni of chulin, a shlishi is metame mashke kodesh and poisel ochle truma. That is a case where we described a revi b'kodesh coming to be even through something other than contact with shlishi sacrificial meat, and that was unlike Rabbi Yitzchak. So we said that Rabbi Yitzchak was a tanaic controversy, and you can see between these two sources that very controversy. Rav Shimon Omer, Huchshiru b'shchita. We saw in our Mishnah that a bloodless shchita, according to Rav Shimon, does result in the meat becoming muchshir lekabel tuma, becoming susceptible to tuma absorption. This was, of course, in contrast with the Tanakhama that said if there was no blood, so there was no source of hechshir lekabel tuma. There was nothing that made it susceptible to tuma absorption. Without the blood, no tuma absorption. Omar Rabbi Asi. We should, before going on in the Gemara, just look at the outside margin where we have our introductory note or topic heading, the no say. Shitas Rabbi Asi be Rabbi Shimon. We're going to be looking at Rabbi Asi's opinion within Rabbi Shimon. Shchita machshir velodam. Rabbi Shimon, according to Rav Asi, Rav Shimon says that Shechita is Machshir and not blood. So Rav Asi is taking a definitive standpoint and saying that the blood of Shechita would not be Machshir the meat. Omer Hoya Rabbi Shimon, Shechitaso Machshiris below dam. It's the Shechita that makes the meat susceptible for absorbing Tumah and not the blood. Lema Misaile, we should now point out before going further, by way of markings, we have triangles, and the triangles will appear in this sugya in two different directions. So with the point facing up under our Mivne heading in the outside margin, we've noted this is a Siyua L'Rav Asi. This will support, an attempt to support Rav Asi. Inverted triangle will represent an attempt to ask Akasha on Rav Asi. So we turn back to the Gemara. Lema Messiah Le. Let us offer as support to Rav Asi, Rav Shimon Omer, Hukshuru B'Shechita. Rav Shimon says in the Mishnah that the meat becomes the chulin meat that was slaughtered becomes Hukshur, susceptible to be absorbing Tumah because of the slaughtering. My love, b'shechita v'lo b'dam. Doesn't this imply that it's only through shechita and not through the blood? Lo af b'shechita. The Mishnah is telling us even through shechita. We should have pointed out a little earlier, but never too late, the comment of Rav Asi, which says that shechita is machshir and not dam. You may ask, well, who cares? It's either way, it's mukshur lekabel tumah. So if you shechted it, if there's no dam, still Rav Shimon is claiming there is a hechshur lekabel tumah. What difference does it make, or what do we gain by saying that it's the shechita and not the dam? So Rashi points out the nafgamina, and he says under dibur masel velo b'dam, the nafgamina di lunafal dam shechita al azroyim. If the blood of shechita fell on other food items, lo hukshuru, they will not become mukshur lekabel tumah de lo mikri dam shechita mashke. The means through which something becomes mukshur lekabel tumah is through a certain type of liquid, provided the liquid is termed a mashke. So that if you have one of the seven types of liquids that are machshir lekabel tumah, then the item that became wet as a result of its contact with that mashke, that liquid, it would then be subject to kabbalas tumah. But not every liquid accomplishes that. So it's important to classify dam shechita. Is it considered a mashke that's machshir lekabel tumah or not? Rav Asi is telling us that the dam of shechita is not the blood that comes through a slaughtering. There are other we'll call sources of blood that may in fact be machshir, but not the blood that emerges at the time of a slaughtering. Well, we now continue in the Gemara. Toshma, we look at our next triangle. Omar lehen Rabbi Shimon, v'chi hadam machshir v'alo shechita machshiris. It sounds from Rabbi Shimon's response to the Rabbanan, he says, do you think it's the blood that's machshir? It's the shechita that's machshir, which would seem to say that only the shechita is machshir and not the blood. That would be in favor, or that would be like Rabbi Yitzchak. So we have our triangle pointing up, attempting to support Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Asi's teaching. Hochi komar. So the Gemara rejects this support and says, Hochi komar lohen. Thusly, the Reb Shimon was saying to the Rabbanan in this Tanaic source, the chidam bilvad machshir. Do you think it's only the blood that's machshir? Af shechita nami machshir. Shechita also is machshir. So that's not like Rav Asi. Rav Asi said that it's exclusively the shechita that's machshir. With this rereading or understanding of the source, we're saying it's Reb Shimon is acknowledging that blood is machshir, blood of shechita is machshir, but not only the blood. But the shechita itself, the very act of shechita, also is machshir the boser the kabal tuma. Toshma, we have now an inverted triangle, and as we pointed out earlier, this would represent, the inverted triangles represent kashis on Rav Asi. The source says, Rav Shimon Omer, dam hames eino machshir, an animal that simply expired, that dropped dead. The blood that is found in this animal would not be machshir. Won't enable, if it gets onto fruits, it won't cause them to be susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. So the Gemara elaborates, my love, are we not to assume Ha Dam Shvita Machshir? The source says, under the name Rabbi Shimon, which is the focus of our discussion, Rabbi Shimon is saying that Dam Hames won't be Machshir. But we can infer that Dam of Shvita would be Machshir, and that's not like Rav Asi. Loi, so Rav Asi will tell you, don't make that inference. Rather, make the following inference. Ha Dam Halolim Machshir. We've assigned a little house marking to the word ha, this inference, and dot underlined the phrase dam cholim achshir. On the outside margin, we've made note of this house marking and indicated that this is a diuk that's brought for the benefit of Rav Asi. It will happen again later in the Gemara's discussion. So at this point, we said that the source that teaches under Rav Shimon's name that dam hames is not machshir. That is not taught in order to infer from it that Dam Shechita would be Machshir. No, Dam Shechita also is not Machshir. But what is Machshir? Dam Halolim. That's blood that comes forth from an animal that's killed. Killed meaning not through Shechita, but murdered, if you will, killed. And blood like that is Machshir. In fact, there's a posuk that says, V'dam Halolim Yishteh. Yishteh indicating that it is a mashke. Avol, dam shchita mai, but as far as dam of shchita, what do you want to say? Lo machshir, that it's not going to be machshir? Well, if that be the case, then in the source where Rav Shimon says that something is not machshir, l'shamino dam shchita, why not teach us that as your primary source, that dam shchita is not machshir, even though dam shchita is compared to water, and water is the classic form of machshir, so you would be gaining a very big chiddush by teaching that dam shchita is not machshir, even though it's compared to water. The kol shekein dam hames, and certainly dam hames would not be machshir. Why is it then that the source felt that it's dam hames that's not machshir? In fact, leaving room to think that dam shchita would be machshir, once again, not like Rav Asi. So the Gemara says, listen, dam shchita is not machshir. And you'll ask, why does it teach dam hames? Dam hames, it's terichole. The Tana had an agenda in teaching dam hames as not machshir. Sa'agadayta chamino mali katle ihu mali katle malach hamoves. Without this source, I would have thought. What difference does it make whether he killed him, which is called dam chalolim, which is machshir, and if he killed him, it would result in blood that's machshir, and if the angel of death killed it, that's the case of mace, where it died on its own, the angel of death, and just like if he killed it, you're saying it's machshir, I would have said that if the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, kills it, it's also machshir. Komash Molon, that's why it was important for this source to tell us that very point, that Dam Hames is not machshir. But, along with Dam Hames that's not machshir, we're going to add Dam Shchita also is not machshir, so as to preserve Rav Asi's teaching. Toshma, you notice the inverted triangle, once again a challenge to Rav Asi. The source says, Rav Shimon Omer, dam magofosoi eino machshir. The blood of an injury, a bruise, or any other injury, the blood that emerges will not be machshir. My love, does this not leave room to infer, oh, dam shchita machshir, that the blood of slaughtering would be machshir? Again, posing a difficulty to Rav Asi. No, don't make that inference. Rather, ha dam halolim machshir. Once again, we've used this house marking, and we had indicated earlier that this inference is brought as a support to Rav Asi, to help defend Rav Asi against the challenge. In fact, this source teaches that the injury blood from bruises is not machshir, but leaving us to infer that the blood of chalolim is machshir. Chalolim, once again, is an animal that was killed. Avol, dam shchita mai, but with regard to dam shchita, what do you want to say? Lo machshir. You want to say in support of Ravasi that it's not machshir. If that be the case, then this source, l'shaminon dam shchita, you should have taught in this source that dam shchita is not machshir. The kol shekein dam akafoso. And certainly, blood from bruises would not be machshir. Once again, if dam shchita, which is compared to water, and you're going to tell me that it's not machshir, then certainly blood coming from bruises will not be machshir. So the Gemara answers, dam makafoso itzterichalei. Once again, as we answered before, that dam shchita will not be machshir. But this source had an agenda. It had to teach us about bruised blood. Why? Salgadaita chamina, mali katle kule, mali katle palga. I might have thought that what different, that not to make a distinction between dam chalolim, where the whole animal was killed, or part of the animal was killed. That's a reference to a bruise. If in your mind's eye, you look at that, you focus on that section of the animal that was bruised, you would say that the tissue matter over there was killed. It's like, we'll call it a partial killing. So if you are going to acknowledge that dam chalolim is machshir, I might have thought to say that just like a full killing of the animal results in blood that's machshir, so to a partial killing, so to speak, would result, that by the way is the dam agavoso, that also would be machshir. Therefore, this source has to teach that dam magafoso is not machshir. And at the same time, dam shchita as well is not machshir, along in accordance with Rav Asi's teaching. The Gemara, though, continues in raising questions. Umay shno dam chalolim de machshir. What is different about dam chalolim that you claim it is machshir? Dis dechtiv dam chalolim yishte. The pasuk says that the dam of the killed ones is yishte. One will drink, so to speak. The point of this pasuk is to describe the dam chalolim as a mashke. Well, dam shchita namiksiv. Regarding dam shchita, it also says ala aretz tishpachenu kemayim. Regarding a slaughtering, it says, and on the floor it shall be spilled like water. Namely, just like water is machshir, why not say that dam shchita is also machshir? So the Gemara answers, Hahu, the role of that posuk of Al Ha'aretz Hishpachenu Mayim is not here to teach me about Dam Shchita as a Machshir, but rather, Ahu Le Mishri Dom Mon, the Psalm Mugdosh Bano Hu Da Asa. It is coming to teach me about the blood of animals that were once dedicated as sacrifices, but became blemished and hence unfit, and thereby classified as Psalm Mugdoshim. And those animals are eventually redeemed, and you slaughter them for your personal meat benefit, non-Beis HaMikdash benefit. What is the law regarding the blood of Psul HaMikdashim? So this pasuk that says Al Ha'aretz Tishpachenu Mayim is saying that the blood of Psul HaMikdashim you can spill out on the floor like water. In other words, it has no significance, it has no holiness or restrictions attached to it. Now, how important is it to have a pasuk like that regarding psula hamikdashim? So the Gemara explains at the top of Lamed Vav, Omed Aleph, Sa'akadaita chamina, without the pasuk, I would have thought, Hoyol v'asuri b'giza b'avuda, since animals that are classified as psula hamikdashim, in general, those animals are forbidden. There are restrictions associated with them, even though you are slaughtering it outside the Beis HaMikdash and eating it as your own personal steak. Nevertheless, that animal, before you slaughter it, is forbidden to shear it for its wool, and it's forbidden to plow with them. Those are examples of the Isser Begiza, the shearings, and Avoda, and working with them. So since, with regard to Psula HaMikdashim, I know there are certain restrictions, Domon Leboi Kvura, I would have thought that the blood that emerges from the slaughtering of those animals, the psulei hamukdashim, would require burial. Komash molon, the pasuk tells me that even though the blood comes from psulei hamukdashim, animals carrying with them certain restrictions, the restrictions don't extend to the blood, and hence our Eretz Yishkan Mayim tells me you can have it pour out like water and it does not need burial. That's Komash Malon, it does not need burial. But as far as classifying Dam Shechita as a Machshir, that Rav Asi tells you no, Dam Shechita is not Machshir, only the Shechita itself is Machshir. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.